Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live in the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios. It is time, 3 o'clock on a Thursday, which means it's the TD Power Hour, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD is with us. Hello, TD.
What's going on?
Man, I will tell you, it feels like we're kind of starting to move into draft season. We are less than a month away from the draft, but the Titans making the big splash at the end of free agency with the trade of L'Jarius Sneed on Friday. Now, it is not official yet, which I'm a little surprised by, but I've been told not to read anything into that.
Exactly.
That the deal is Dunzo and L'Jarius Sneed. I shouldn't say Dunzo, but that he's going to be a Titan. That
exactly.
There is no hang up here or there. Your reaction to the L'Jarius Sneed trade and what it said to you about where the Titans view themselves in terms of competing this upcoming season?
Well, I tell you what, it really gave my lady a glimpse into how my world works, right? Because we're there at a comedy show at Bridgestone, right? Seeing Mike Epps and the rest of his crew, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh. And I had to start writing, and I had to, you know, pull out my phone and do some work. So it gave her a glimpse. So it was a surprise. I didn't think the deal was going to happen that quickly. I knew all along, as I've said, you know, they were interested, but it had to be at their price. And they did a master job of just waiting it out. And, you know, I likened it to when you go buy a car, right? You have a price that you're going to buy the car at.
Sure.
If they don't come to that price, you get up and you show them that you're going to walk out. And I think that's basically what the Titans had done, right? And they said, oh, wait, come on back. And they figured it out, and now you have the deal. So I think when you look at the deal, obviously, you know, it's a third-round pick next year. That's equivalent to a fourth-round pick this year. So, you know, it's not like it was a total fleece. It was a matter of one team catching another team in a situation where they – had a player that they wanted to offload, and that player just happens to match what the other team wants to do perfectly. And I think that's what you're looking at. So acquiring L.J. Sneed, L'Jarius Sneed, I think what that does is show that this team, they're reloading, not rebuilding. I think that's the best way to put it. They're reloading on the run. They still want to compete. They have all intentions of going out there and winning football games. But now is a situation where those games are more winnable. And what you're seeing is a team that is essentially building from the back forward, right? You go out and sign Chidobe Awuzie, right? You trade for L'Jarius Sneed. Obviously, the safety situation, you know, there were guys that they were interested in. We know that still has to be fixed. And then the next level of the defense, Kenneth Murray, who – I know there's a lot of concern about the pass rush, but I believe Kenneth Murray could really help that situation. I believe that the guys in the backfield, their sticky coverage, L'Jarius Sneed and his aggressive mindset as far as getting in the receiver's face and jamming them, that's going to give those guys up front a little bit of extra time to get home. And, oh, by the way, Sneed is an outstanding blitzer. So they're going to be able to send him on blitzes at times, too. I think you couldn't – I'll put it this way. I don't think that there's a cornerback in the league that matches better what what Denard Wilson wants to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that just because they made the trade. I'm not saying that because of that. I'm saying that because looking at Sneed and what he brings, the versatility. Guess what Denard Wilson said that he prefers in DBs? Versatility. Line up on left, right, as well as the nickel, because it's a wide open league. It's a matchup league. Wide receivers that are the top receivers are getting moved around. Check. He wants to be aggressive overall. We know Sneed is that. And then on top of that, he wants to blitz, but not blitz recklessly and have coverage behind it. Sneed is one of the best cover guys in the league. He wants to blitz, as I said. At times you could send him on the blitz. Everything that you look at checks out, and he's 27. The knee obviously is something they're going to have to manage, and I think that's really the only close to hiccup situation that they have. This move is a good move. And, oh, by the way, Vin Marino, Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, Anthony Robinson, and the crew, they were able to get this deal set up to where that $22 million that Sneed was asking for, that $23, that's not what they're paying him annually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a win on all platforms, if you ask me.
So when I saw a $20 million signing bonus, I thought Amy also stepped up to the plate. You know, as far as, because, you know, you hear the stuff that lingers in the background about the Titans being cheap. And, like, I challenged the Titans this year when I was, like, looking at the payroll, and I'm like, I expect them to spend a bunch of money, and I give credit to the owner. But on the Snead front, I do wonder, what have you heard about the knees? Because the Titans, obviously, it's out into the, you know, the discourse that he's got, you know, the knee swelling and missed training camp practices and things like that. Mm-hmm. But obviously the Titans still are willing to take on that risk. So when you, after they made the deal, when you just kind of did your reporting, what have you heard about the Titans' level of concern on the knee and what kind of they view the reality of that situation to be?
Well, they vetted it out, and they feel that it's a situation that could be managed. And I think, you know, from the Kansas City side, sources, you know, on that side of things, I was told, like, one, I had one person tell me that it really limited him in training camp, you know. And so you have that. But I had someone else tell me, hey, he didn't miss any games. You know, he missed one. He was out of one game. So I think it's just one of those things where you have to be cautious of it. I don't know about it being a chronic injury. The good thing is these medical teams, they could exchange information, and based on what the Titans got, the physical was passed, and they feel that it's not going to be a huge hindrance going forward.
What do you make of what it means for the big picture of the Titans? And I'm not talking about, like, the are they going for it versus are they rebuilding, because I think everybody in the NFL is trying to win, and everybody on some level is kind of on the clock a little bit. But what this means for Will Levis to have a Legarius Sneed and a Chidobe Awuzie on his team, because I'm convinced that the defense is very much a part of Will Levis's development, mm-hmm. because it's much easier to ask the young quarterback to go score 20 points than it is to ask the young quarterback to score 30 points.
Turnovers on downs. Those are areas. Interceptions. This team had 3 interceptions last year, Jared. Snead had 2. So,
wait a minute. Hold on. They had 3 interceptions.
Not 3 interceptions. Pardon me. This team had their average. Let me get it correct. Their average per interceptions was I think it was like 0.0. I got to look it up again. I caught myself out of context there. That's my error. He had 2 interceptions.
Sure.
This team averaged. They averaged. Where is it? They averaged 0.6 interceptions per game. So, long story short, this team needs to be able to turn the football over in the passing game, and that's something that he brings. And then you look at the touchdown to interception ratio. That's another area where he was one of the best, and they were one of the worst. So they do have to improve in those areas.
Do you feel like the Titans still have work to do on the pass rush with Autry being
Absolutely.
Out? You brought up Murray,
yeah.
and they brought in Sebastian Joseph, who I think is going to be – I think what we're going to see is that Sebastian Joseph is probably going to play more of what Simmons has done in the past, and Simmons is probably going to do more of what Autry did, where he moved – like. Autry and Chris kind of played the Chris Jones role where he moved all around the defensive line no matter what. I think they're going to want Simmons to do more of that this year. But even with good corners, I think we all know that the pass rush is still important. So do you think there's still more to do there to fill that Autry void?
Yeah, and well, Simmons moved around a lot last year too. Mm-hmm. So I believe 2 or 3 of his sacks came from not the interior side of things. So you do have that. But, yeah, I mean – look, they're going to have to add to the pass rush. You have double-digit sacks that went out the window with Danico Autry. Rashad Weaver is a guy that they're still looking. I don't know what he's going to provide. Caleb Murphy, a lot of people really liked him during camp, me, one of them. But these are guys that Brian Callahan didn't mention when he was asked about the pass rush, right? So Harold Landry, Arden Key, we know Landry and what he brings to the table. Arden Key can step up more in the sack side of things. I will say this, he gets pressures, and he is a playmaker for them. But they do need to add a pass rusher, and that's why you see people putting Dallas Turner in that conversation at 7. Now, that's not a direction I would go, but you see him getting in that conversation. I think at some point they're going to have to look to get somebody. And you look, let's say they trade down to 11 and 23. At 23, Chop Robinson is a very attractive pass rusher. You know what I mean? So that's an option there. They have to add somebody. But as I said, they're going to look to get some sack production out of Kenneth Murray. And they're really trusting that that secondary is going to hold it down enough to give them a little bit more time up front to get to the football.
Do you think that we'll see them look out? And well, you know what? Let's pick this up on the other side. Because the draft, you know, the Titans have said at the owners' meetings that they're kind of right now turning their attention to the draft. But do we think that there could still be some more free agent moves to be made? We'll do that with TD kind of going over some of these spots that the Titans have openings. We'll do that next. The TD Power Hour is presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Teron Davenport, Jared Stillman, Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
So what do you make of all the roster turnover and everything you've been able to have?
It's been a good offseason so far. There's a lot left to do, but I think it's been a good start. I thought the free agency period has gone well. We've added some good players. And with a whole draft to go, I feel pretty good about where we have a chance to be come training camp.
Brian Callahan talking about the roster, and they have filled a lot of holes. Because, TD, when we started this, I mean, it almost took me like 15 seconds to get out all the holes the Titans had as they entered training camp or entered the offseason. And now, you know, sit there and say, all right, it looks like they're probably going to go left tackle in the draft, but maybe right tackle, maybe right guard.
Do you still have to tell the right tackle story?
I had to tell it yesterday.
Don't do it, please.
I had
don't.
To tell. TD, I'm getting scared to death that Jalen Duncan or Nicholas Petit-Frere are going to be playing right tackle for the Titans this year.
We'll see.
So I do wonder this, because we were talking about the different spots. Safety seems to me like a spot that there are still free agents to be had, and the Titans still need a safety. And you said, Denard Wilson, that he wants to build this with a secondary he can rely on. Do we think the Titans, even before the draft, are still kind of keeping in touch with these safeties, looking to kind of solidify that last spot? Because I do, like, I'm not a huge Elijah Molden fan, but I think if Molden is like the seventh guy or the sixth guy in that group, like, it's still a solid group.
Yeah, yeah, no. And just for clarity, I'm not saying that that's what Denard Wilson wants to do.
Sure.
But it's the direction that what's available to them is taking them, right?
Sure.
And I think it's only right as a smart coach, you're going to work with what you have, right? So you look right now, the back end is much stronger than the front end. So that's that, especially with a healthy Hooker. But as you mentioned, with Molden in the mix, you know, that gives you an interchangeable piece, whereas you could use he and Hooker in different situations. I would say they are in contact with some of these safeties. I, for the life of me, and I haven't been able to get any answers, but I don't know why Julian Blackman is someone that they haven't reached out to. I think when you look at Blackman, he's a younger player. He was obviously out all of 2022, but he came back and had a solid season last year. And you look at those Colts games, a lot of times when, you know, Derrick Henry was getting tackled, he was right there in the mix starting that. So you do have him. Obviously, Justin Simmons is out there. But I tell you what, and yes, they only have so many draft picks, but you look at a guy, and I actually posted a video of him a couple of days ago, Marcus Banks out of Mississippi State. He's 6'1", 6 feet, 190. He was in the 4'4 range in the 40. I think it was like 4'4'7". You go back and watch the LSU game, which I posted clips from. He literally lined up on the left corners, right corner, nickel, and deep. And if you watch that game, you'll see in the second half, Malik Nabers didn't really get off like that. Now, a good part of that was because they ran the ball a lot, but the few times that they targeted him, he was limited. Guess who was over top of him in the slot?
Marcus Banks.
Yes. So that's a guy that he's going to be a day three / undrafted free agent. That's someone you could bring in. And then with this shift to special teams and how important kick coverage is now, yeah, he's a good player for that. You also look at a guy like Wake Forest, Malik Mustafa. And he's someone, I talked to him at the Senior Bowl. I liked his game just overall because I love the reckless abandonment that he plays with. And we talked about Bob Sanders, and he knew who Bob Sanders was. So I was just impressed with that. But he acknowledged that that's somebody that he strives to play like. with that same type of physicality mixed in with range in the secondary as well. So those are a couple guys if they have to go draft, and those are guys that I don't think will take more than a day three pick. Now, if you're looking at 38 or if you're able to generate a second round pick, Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota is someone I would absolutely look at, right? We talked about the interceptions, and like I said, it was six. I had my numbers mixed up. There were three players who had as many of, if not more, than the Titans last year, and that's where the three came from for me. My stats were jumbled. But anyhow, This is a guy, Tyler Newbin, that is a ball hawk. He's someone that will help increase those totals, and you put he and Hooker in there, and you have Molden when they want to go big nickel, and I think you have something really good going.
TD, what do you make of the green dot inside linebacker position? Because, you know, I do think that Trevor, when he said that, you know, the idea of experience in that, just lining up the defense and making sure that the front and the back are aligned, I think that is a big deal.
Yeah.
And yet the Titans only, you know, that we know of, brought in Jerome Baker and didn't come to an agreement with him, and there's not a lot of those guys left on the market. And I do think that it seems like Kenneth Murray's going to be more of a jack-of-all-trades type linebacker than a three-down, middle-of-the-team, lining-the-defense-up linebacker.
Yeah, so Kenneth Murray is someone that I don't think you put any thoughts into it. You just say, hey, look, man, go out there, and what I said last week, mess stuff up. Yeah. That's what you do. Just like we talked about Darius Robinson, you just go out there and bust stuff up. And that's what you want him to do. You don't want him to think or anything like that. So get the green dot helmet far away from him. But here's the problem. Jack Gibbons, I think, is probably their has the best football sense or awareness out of all of them. But you do have limitations athletically with him. So
yeah, if you put Kenneth Murray's athleticism into Jack Gibbons, we'd have no problem.
Yeah, you're going to have a Hall of Famer. But and that's not to say Kenneth Murray is dumb, because that's not the case at all.
Sure.
But it's just he's one of those guys where you don't want him thinking. Why? Because you want him to play fast and physical. Remember what he said at this press conference? That's how you want him to play. And I think he has to be able to play freely. So I say all that to say, when you look at what Trevor said about experience, he's 100% right. And on talking with TD, on the Run TMC section with Chris Sanders, you know, Chris made an excellent point, and a lot of us aren't even thinking about it. But as a rookie, you're trying to figure out and make sure you know where you're supposed to be aligned, right? So how the heck are you going to have a rookie think about that and then tell Jeffrey Simmons, you know, hey, come up and tap him on the butt and say, hey, scoot over to this. You know what I mean? Or relay a signal to, like, that's a lot. That's a lot. And then on top of that, even if he is able to do that, he's still going to be processing stuff. So that's going to take away from the speed by which he could play. So that's not a situation that you want. I say all that to say, I think Jack Gibbons is going to be Jack Gibbons and Kenneth Murray. You'll see a rotation of Otis Reese in there too. But remember when Otis Reese was in there, Aziz Alshire was there calling the defense, right? So I don't think Otis Reese is a person that you want out there just yet either, because he's a second-year player, but his first year in this scheme.
Mm-hmm. What about at the right tackle spot? Are you buying the idea that this really could be a competition between Jalen Duncan and Nicholas Petitfrere, or do you think the Titans are going to have a trick up their sleeve somewhere around here?
I think it could be a competition between those two. The trick up their sleeve, I don't know. I mean, you only have so many draft picks, right? Roger Rosengarten, I think, is someone to look at. He's a possibility at right tackle, but does he come in as a fourth-round pick and give you better hope than MPF, or as you call him, PT, right? That was a third-round pick a couple years ago, or Jaden Duncan, who I wonder how Duncan would do on the right side. I'm just going to say it because of this. Typically on the right side, that's your bigger, stronger guy. He's a bigger guy, but he has to get stronger. That's the big problem with him. So I don't know, Jared. They're going to have to find a way to get that position solidified, or else I think you'll be telling that story all year.
Oh, I'll be yelling and screaming. I mean, you know, right tackle, I mean, I think we all know that, at least I say no, one of the tackle spots I think is getting solved in the first round, whether it's at seven or
always
wherever
happening
it may be, that one of those two tackles. I worry. I think Petit Frere has the talent because he was one of the top recruits in the country, and he ended up at Ohio State. Like, he's got the tangibles to be a starting left tackle or right tackle and a good one in the NFL. I just don't know if he's got that, you know, inside of him, you know, whether it's up here mm-hmm. or in here in order to make that transition. But at the same time, I personally think he did have subpar coaching his first 2 years.
Yeah. And so that is something where you kind of hang your hat on Bill Callahan. And I'll say this, Bill Callahan coaches hard from what I've heard. I heard that he rode DeJuan Jones. You remember DeJuan Jones, that giant that I was saying, hey, look, man, he'd be awfully nice at right tackle. You remember him, right, out of Ohio State? The one I said I started looking
at
his feet.
Didn't he check in at like 390-something pounds at the combine? Or something? Like
he was like 375, 380, something like that.
And refused to weigh in at the Ohio State Pro Day.
Hey, listen, I gave it to you once. I ain't getting on there again. I don't blame him. But, yeah, I mean, they said that he, when it was time for him to, they were trying to get him ready to start, they said Bill Callahan was riding him. So, and you see what it brought out of him. So, we'll see. Maybe he could bring the same out of Nicholas Petit Frere. That's the gift and the curse from having an outstanding coach like that, right? You look at a guy like Petit Frere and you say, hey, we got this coach. I think he could bring the best out of him. Let's see what could happen. And it could be a gift or it could be a curse and, you know, it not work.
Do you think right guard will be a battle between Raidens or Brunskill, or do you think it's going to be Brunskill with them developing Raidens to back up Brunskill?
Well, don't forget Sadiq Charles. He's going to be in that mix too.
And Sadiq Charles.
Obviously a $2.5 million deal, but I think he's going to be in the mix too, and that would be good for him, right, to be able to play next to his college teammate Lloyd Cushenberry. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a competition between those three. We know the left side is pretty much where it is. You know, Charles has played some tackle too, so you do have that.
TD, I have got some of the smoke that is starting to come out around the draft. I want to know what you believe. Not what's being reported, not what teams are saying, but what do you believe is true or not? We're going to do that next. And, of course, we'll hit your phones at the bottom of the hour, as we always do with TD. The TD Power Hour is presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Despite having a daughter who's a Wolverine, I do love Marvin Harrison. But what I love even more is my nephew, Justin Herbert, being healthy. And that's what job one's going to be for Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman. The offensive line, Mel, it's about keeping Justin Herbert healthy. If this is year two, I completely agree with you.
Okay, there you go. That was Tannenbaum in his mock draft, where he's got Joe Alt going at number 5 to the Chargers. TD is with us for the TD Power Hour presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, I've got a list in front of me of kind of what I call draft smoke for you. And I want to know if you believe that it's actually true or not. We've got the Chad Withrow Bell, Ian, if you could. We've got, there you go. So here's the first one for you, TD. Do you think Jim Harbaugh really wants Joe Alt with the 5th pick?
I think he wants an offensive lineman with the 5th pick. I wouldn't be shocked, as I've said before, if they take J.C. Latham. But I think he wants an offensive lineman with the 1st pick.
So you think that he would stay at 5 and pass on, say, Harrison if he's there, or Neighbors, given their receiver situation, still to take an offensive lineman?
I think it would be strong consideration. I do. Because you look at the history of what Harbaugh has done. I mean, just look at where it came from. Michigan ran the football. And this is with a 5-star quarterback.
Sure.
In J.J. McCarthy. You look at when he was in San Francisco, Frank Gore was toting that rock. Right? And they had tackles on both sides. Anthony Davis, who was a 1st-round pick. Joe Staley, who was a 1st-round pick. Now, neither of those guys were top 10 picks or 1st-round picks when he was there, but they were 1st-round picks. And then you look at it in the past, you know, with Stanford, run the football. They always want to protect the quarterback. Like, that's what he wants to do.
See, I wonder if maybe, you know, and again, maybe this is for trade talk reasons. Wouldn't it be better off for Harbaugh, given how deep of a receiver draft this is, for him to move off of 5 in order to be able to pick up, say, Fuaga or Latham, maybe late, like 11 with that Minnesota pick, and then get a receiver in the 1st round of, you know, where those A.D. Mitchells might be coming off the board?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's definitely an option. Definitely an option. And it just, I don't know what they're going to do. And I don't think that he was saying all that just to say, hey, look, man, you want an offensive lineman, you're going to have to come to me. I don't think he was saying it for that. I think he was just being genuine and speaking his mind. Now, I don't agree that the offensive line is the only position, because I feel as though if the receivers don't get open, it doesn't matter how long the O-line protects. I feel as though if the quarterback holds on to the football, he's going to get sacked. Like we saw last year, that there were sacks that weren't the O-line's fault, you know, mm-hmm. but they got.
Number two, J.J. McCarthy will go in the top five. Are you buying that smoke?
Nah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that one. I think he goes top 10. I think he goes top 10. I could see a team moving up to the Falcons spot and getting him. And the Falcons moving back, trusting that, you know, the Jets and the Bears won't take Dallas Turner.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that when Minnesota got that second first-round pick, they were telling people that we're the team to beat for J.J. McCarthy. Because mm-hmm. I don't think they're getting into the first three. And so that second first-round pick, and that might be where Harbaugh – I think that would be perfect for Harbaugh, would be to swap with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Minnesota gets J.J. at 5, and then Harbaugh can still get Latham or Fuaga at 11 to play right tackle. Because I don't think it makes a lot of sense to draft Dalton, put him at right tackle, when he's a left tackle and there's all these right tackles that are in the middle of the first round that a lot of people say are really freaking good.
Yeah, I mean, look, Troy Fowler, there's a bunch of guys. We're not going to get into the names. We've said them before. I think the Titans are a good spot for the Vikings to trade up to, right at 7. I think that's where you could get I keep thinking of Christian Ponder because I keep thinking of the draft when he went top 10, and I was like, what? So I think that's where you could get J.J. McCarthy.
Okay. Titans will not take a left tackle in the first round of this year's draft. Are you buying some of that smoke?
I don't know where that smoke came from, but I'm not going to buy that because I believe Fashanu and Ault will give him good options at left tackle. So, no, I'm not buying it.
By the way, what's up with Fashanu? You know, we've talked about all the draft people were saying that Fashanu and Ault were kind of neck and neck, and then they get to the combine and Fashanu has the smaller hands, and now I don't hear his name mentioned at all anymore.
Yeah, I think, you know, that Ohio State tape was rough. He had a lot of lunging. He was caught out of position at times. I don't know what happened with him. I think he's just fallen by the wayside. Now, he's still a really good player, you know, and I just think you're looking at the upside with him. And what he brings now, having that upside, I would take a gamble on him. I definitely would take a gamble on him. But I just think you see other players, and that's what happens, right, when you're – a good pro, because he's been a good prospect for 2 years, right? And what happens? You start to nitpick things in this game, and you find reasons to kind of talk yourself out of him. And here it is; it's a really good prospect that you passed up on.
Speaking of prospects that have been out there for 2 years, there is some smoke that Marvin Harrison Jr. is slipping, and that some teams view Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. And that Marvin Harrison Jr., as we've seen in some of these mock drafts, could actually be available with the 7th overall pick. Are you buying that?
I highly doubt he's available at 7. I'm going to say no, I'm not buying it, just to make it happen, because I would love to see Harrison Jr. here, because that would be great for business. But nevertheless, I don't think it happens, though.
I think the Chargers want – that's who I think the Chargers want, is Marvin Harrison Jr., because – I've heard a lot of people say that they don't like doing the comparing somebody to their dad, but that apparently Marvin Jr. has a lot of the qualities that Marvin Sr. had.
I wouldn't say that.
And then remember, I think Harbaugh was the quarterback for Marvin Sr. his rookie year in Indianapolis.
Yeah, he was. He was.
And so I think that, you know, I think Harbaugh is hoping to hype up J.J. McCarthy so that somebody trades with Arizona at 4. to go quarterback, and then it's quarterback, 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 and then he goes and gets Marvin Harrison Jr. to pair with Justin Herbert for the next 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, look, that wouldn't be a bad move at all. But at the same time, you have a deep draft, right? So I think really this is what a deep draft for the receivers. I think what this really depends on is how much separation does Jim Harbaugh and the Falcons, or excuse me, the Chargers brass, how much separation do they feel is between Alt, Fashanu, et cetera, and the second round prospects? Is it more than the separation between Neighbors, Marvin Harrison Jr., and the second round receiver prospects? That's really going to determine what direction they go, in my opinion.
Okay, I'll ask you this question. You're Jim Harbaugh, because I know you've watched all this tape. So you're the Chargers. What would you rather have? Would you rather have Alt at right tackle and a second round receiver like Ladd McConkey or Xavier Leggett or whatever? Or would you rather have Marvin Harrison Jr. and a second round tackle like Kingsley Suamatalo?
Yeah.
Suamatalo out of BYU.
Yeah, listen, I look, you take Alt, who's a really good prospect, but you got to flip him to the right side. Not saying he can't do it, but now you're doing you have a little conversion. I'll go ahead and take Marvin Harrison Jr. Figure it out on the right side, right? You could go for a right tackle at 34 where they are, 35 wherever they are, and get a good player. You could also get, like, I look at Roger Rosengarten in the third round as a guy that the high third round is a guy that would he could come in and start.
You know what's going to happen now, though?
What's that?
I've seen this. I think I've seen this each of the last 3 years, where you talk about somebody and you say they're like a third-round pick, and then at pick 28, all of a sudden it's like, with the 28th pick, they select Roger Rosengarten out of Washington. And everyone's like, whoa!
Yeah. Yeah,
and so I've seen it happen with guys that you've circled too many times over the years.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one of those things where it just takes one, right? You look at Cleveland Farrell.
Woof!
Fifth overall?
Like fourth?
Fourth. No one would have saw that.
Nobody.
So it just takes one team.
Especially that year with Simmons and Dexter Lawrence and Christian
Montez
Wilkins.
Sweat.
And Sweat. So many good players. Okay, your phones for TD. We'll do them next. 615-737-1025. We're right to them. Hey, White Bison, that's right. They're your local coffee shop with specialty coffee and so much more. I actually went to White Bison this morning. The White Bison over there in the Nations, I love it. Explore their selection of premium coffee blends, refreshing iced drinks, and food featuring fresh-made premium breakfast, lunch, and snack options. And download the app so that you can join the White Bison Rewards Program. You can place orders on the go anytime, and you can get rewards to earn free coffee. Stop by White Bison and brighten your day with a sweet cinnamon beehive latte, an iced honey nut macchiato, or the vanilla rooibos tea latte. Find your perfect cup at White Bison, where it's finely crafted for you every day. That's a White Bison and twice daily, fresh all day. Stillman & Company, the TD Power Hour, is presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, do you have a thought or do you want to go to the people?
One thought. How about those Preds? Wow.
Oh, my God.
Even got me on the list, and I'm jumping on the bandwagon.
TD, that's okay. Because
yep.
You, at least I know you've been to the games over the years, the
yep.
last couple of years when they kind of suck. So
sure
if you were going to the games, and I actually thought about this yesterday, which was like, I'm not sitting here like trying to sell tickets for the Predators. They have people that do that, and so that's their job. But playoff hockey can be pretty special when the team is good, and this team is good.
Yeah.
And this is something I tell people, like, if you're thinking about getting the tickets, you want to do it now, because when it comes time to everybody wanting them, it'll be too late. But that's, again, they can sell their own tickets on that one. Let's go to phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Kyle has been waiting patiently and is up for a TD on the TD Power Hour. Kyle, go ahead.
What's going on, TD? Good to talk to you again.
All right. Good to talk to you too, my guy.
All right. I got two things. Burks, I like him now with Ridley going into the slot. I don't feel like he can run the full route tree, and I think he could take serious advantage of some safeties and some 5'9" corners, like, you know, Molden, something like that. I just think that he could really thrive, especially given help on the outside now. And my other thing was, I called Jared in about this yesterday. Tackle's a serious need, both sides in this team. What would you think about, you know, say number 7 taking Alt if he's there, and then number 38 taking, you know, Fisher or Patrick Paul, you know, the guy from Notre Dame, Fisher. What would you think about, you know, just doubling up and make sure our future's safe?
Yeah, good call, Kyle. I actually heard your call yesterday about that. Listen, I think this situation is ideal for Burks because the talent is there, and Kyle is right. The route tree was limited at Arkansas, and I don't know that that's something I would put on him, the full route tree this year. I think it's just another one of those things that we talked about where you find a guy, what he does well, and you just highlight it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you have to do with him. So hopefully with the burden of responsibility of holding the playmaking title, you know, for the offense, it's not solely on him now. Hopefully that will allow him to elevate the way that he needs to. As for the offensive line, listen, Alt at 7, that's a home run. That's an ideal pick. I just don't know about coming back at 38 because – you still have other holes that you have to fill. And I think, you know, this pass rushing situation, if Darius Robinson is there, I'm taking him over Patrick Paul, right? I think because Darius Robinson is one of the 50 first-round picks because you know what happens. We talked about it last week. Every year at this time, there's 50 or so guys who you say, that's a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of them. So if he's there at 38, I think you take that. I think if Keon Coleman is there, I think you take that. There's other options that I think will tumble out of that first round that you'll have access to, and I would say those are better picks than Patrick Paul or the, you know, the other guy that he mentioned.
Terrell says, TD, can the Titans find a green dot inside linebacker after June 1st cuts?
It's very possible because a lot of times, right, the guys who have that green dot are established veterans. So yep. It's definitely possible. I haven't combed through to see our possibilities, but yes, I would 100% say that they could find one. I think there's somebody that will be available.
Robert in Spring Hill says, TD, if on the 7th pick, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Joe Alt, and Dallas Turner are all available, who would you pick?
Man, my question would be, who the heck got picked before them to leave that group available?
Bo Nix.
Yeah. Hey, listen, give me Harrison. I think Marvin Harrison is – so I feel Alt is the most pro-ready prospect, but I think Marvin Harrison is the best combination of pro-ready and upside. That Larry Fitzgerald comparison, like, I can't get that out of my head. It's perfect. I can't get it out of the head.
I mean, just from the sounds of it, sounds like the Titans would probably take Marvin Harrison if he's there on the board at 7, too.
I think that they would take him, yes.
Ben says, TD, what's the most important position that they need, and what position likely won't be fixed adequately this offseason at all? Which positions do you think they could maybe get by?
I think they could get by at safety. Because don't forget about Matthew Jackson behind him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's from right here in Nashville. That's a story that, like, I've been pitching it. I want to do it, but it just hasn't hit yet. But, I mean, he's from right here in Nashville, right? And now he's playing for the Titans. It's a dope story. He's from that area, you know, the development, housing development, right by Nissan Stadium. And it hasn't really been reported. So you got him. I think this team will go without, unless a Christian Haynes is there or something like that, when they manufacture a third-round pick and he's there, I could see them picking him, the guard out of Connecticut. I think they go without picking an interior guy that could come in and compete immediately.
Well, doesn't it kind of feel, too, like on the interior that they're going to – you know, it's like if all else fails, Brunskill, right? That they know what – we all know what they have in Brunskill.
Mm-hmm.
If Sadiq Charles outplays Brunskill, or if Radens, you know, ends up being kind of a Bill Callahan fix it, then those guys could start and Brunskill could back up. But with only 2 picks in the top 100,
right,
I don't see them necessarily looking at guard. The one that worried me earlier today was you talking about Jack Gibbons. I feel like they fudged it last year with Gibbons. And while Gibbons does some good things, when he's on the field constantly, he can get exposed for that lack of speed.
And here's the thing. When they go dime, you got one backer on the field. And guess what? Kenneth Murray is not the guy that you're having call the defense.
Right.
So what do you do in that situation? You know what I mean? That means he has to come out when they go dime. What do we talk about? How Kenneth Murray could be a big boost in the pass rush department. Now you're losing that in dime package, and you know when you're in dime, you're expecting pass, so that's a tough thing.
Caleb says, TD, what is Xavier Leggett being the steal of the draft? What is the likelihood that the Titans will pick him at 38?
I don't think he makes it to the second round. He's one of those guys. He, Quinyon Mitchell, you know, those types, man, they have done an excellent job. A.D. Mitchell, they've done Xavier Worthy. They've done an excellent job this draft circuit and pushing themselves into, you know, first-round status. I don't think he makes it. I mean, look, 4'3", 6'1", 227 pounds, catches the football well, has all the production, you know, has a good story, right? He was there, went through the COVID year, then special teams, demon, then got the shot, and right out the cannon, 100-plus yards against UNC, you know, to start the year. And you see what he did. Man, the Senior Bowl, the combine, like I don't think he's there in the second round.
This is a really good question. Will asks, if the Chargers don't draft Joe Alt and Minnesota trades the two first-rounders to the Titans for 7, who ends up taking Joe Alt?
So the Titans would be at 7, correct?
The Titans would be moving to 11.
Oh, yeah, 11. Excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Vikings would be at 7. So, okay. So in that scenario, the Chargers don't draft Joe Alt. The Giants don't draft Joe Alt, I'm assuming. Because I would say they get one of the receivers.
The Titans would be not taking Joe Alt in order to make this trade.
I think that they could still get Joe Alt at 11.
The question is Chicago at 9. Do they go Joe Alt over Braxton Jones, who I think is their left tackle, or do they go Roma Dunze to go with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen?
Yeah, that's a tough call.
And then the Jets at 10, they signed Tyron Smith, but, I mean, is Tyron Smith?
I think the Jets at 10, I think they get Brock Bowers. That's where I think Bowers goes.
Overall. See, that's the one organization where if that was any other team in the situation that the Jets are in, I would take Joe Alt, even if Tyron Smith is healthy, because then it's like, well, I can find a place to put Joe Alt on the line, and he can be in a room for a year with Tyron Smith, or when the inevitable happens that Tyron Smith gets hurt, then I'm going to put Joe Alt in at left tackle. But Aaron Rodgers probably looks at this like, we got a left tackle,
yep.
And so he'll throw a fit if they end up drafting a position they already have.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the case. And, you know, your guy Morgan Moses is on the right side. So
I like Morgan Moses.
I think that they take Bowers. I think they take Bowers at 10.
Interesting that you could trade to 11, get Alt, and take that second first rounder and get Chop Robinson or A.D. Mitchell or one of these kind of players.
Yeah, imagine that.
TD, great stuff as always for the TD Power Hour, which is presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, tell us about ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. It is the exclusive sportsbook of ESPN, and it has it all. Offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith. It's from the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark. Guess what? There's no better time to be a sports fan. New users get $100 in bonus bets if you make any sportsbook bets. So go ahead and download that app today. ESPN BET, what a play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call or text TN Redline at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Go ahead and see the app for details.
Coming up next on the program, I actually think somebody is not giving Rand Carthon and his crew enough credit. We'll explain. We'll do that next. Stoneman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.